Thank you for tuning in to 2B Weds Podcast. My name is Stephanie Peterson, and today I'm honored to sit here with Mike Huper, owner and operator of Creative Touch Entertainment. Hey, Mike, how are you?
I'm good, Stephanie. Thanks for having me.
Oh, great to have you. We have so much to talk about, and this is such an important topic as far as weddings are concerned about the ceremony and reception entertainment. And the first thing I want you to describe to us is who is the event director at the wedding?
That would be me. It would be your DJ, your master of ceremony, your music specialist, the person in charge of all of your formalities, the person that is going to deal with all the microphones, the announcements, and the flow of all of your the evening, the entire evening dealing with your wedding.
Well, it sounds like a huge responsibility, and I know you do have. What are some of the key points that are so important when it comes to the responsibility of what your position is?
It's all done in the planning stages. When you sit down to hire your entertainment, make sure that it's a perfect fit. Make sure that they are well-equipped in doing weddings. They have the experience, the attention to detail to handle anything that's thrown at them, and that you guys gel together. Bride and groom have to feel comfortable with the entertainment. And if I don't feel comfortable with my bride and groom or the potential bride and groom, I don't want to take their wedding, because I want to get to know them. I want to ask a bunch of questions. The more I know about them, the more personal touches that I can add to enhance and it just bring more memory to their wedding day. And it's not a cookie-cutter performance. Every wedding is unique. Every wedding is different. We wear many hats. We are your music specialist, your event director, coordinating with all the vendors involved, whether it be photographers, caterers, anyone and everyone, to capture all those special moments on your big day.
Excellent. I guess one of the biggest questions, if a bride and groom's listening and they haven't actually hired entertainment services, is how should they go about hiring entertainment services? What are some of the things to look for?
You should start at least 9 months out. You should hire your entertainment at least 9 months out, because all the good ones will be booked up. At the latest, 6 months. Give yourself enough time to interview as many as you possibly can, and you'll start weeding out the bad ones. You'll start finding out that we are not all created equal, that we do not all come from the same mold. For instance, I do this full-time. I am a full-time entertainment company dealing with ceremonies and receptions. So make sure that your DJ has a contract. A written contract. Make sure that they have insurance. Most facilities require that a DJ MC have insurance nowadays to cover anything that might happen with your equipment and otherwise dealing with their guest. What are some of the other things? Music. All of my music is radio edited, so there's no profanity, no explicit lyrics. You play the biggest role in your music, the do's as well as the don'ts. Just make sure that your DJ really gets involved and ask a bunch of questions of you and is able to supply everything you want and leave out everything that you don't.
You know, when it comes to hiring entertainment services, I've been in here and I've actually heard bride and grooms ask you, can they come watch you at one of the weddings? And what is, we kind of feel, we have a statement to give you all that are listening about this topic.
Let me start by apologizing to all the bride and grooms out there, because a lot of facilities, even magazines, tell them to go out and watch your DJ. Trust me when I tell you, you're not going to learn in a 15-minute span what I can do for you, because that's about all the time that you're going to spend at my wedding or someone else's wedding, which is kind of impersonal as well. It's like an infringement on their big day, and I'm sure most people wouldn't want someone coming to interview a DJ at their wedding. So from that standpoint, you're just not going to learn everything there is to know about me, what I can do for you. If you really want to know, call my references. My references are my last 10 weddings. I expect every single one of my clients to rant and rave about my services. I give you emails of my past clients so you can email them, ask questions. They have no trouble responding, telling you what it was that I did, because I'm just one aspect of the wedding. And there's so many others that are involved, but everything that I can do to enhance, make it better. Besides, if you show up at a wedding, it might not be geared or set up to what you're wanting to do, and you'd be completely disappointed, but it was just what that bride wanted, and you have to be able to adapt to their needs and wants.
Absolutely. And Mike's right. In all the magazines and online, it tells you to go and see your DJ actually in performance. But I think that you really need to take a look at your own request. Would you want someone showing up at your wedding? And I just think we all think that that's probably a very bad idea. So, Mike, if they don't live in Phoenix and they are not lucky enough to interview you and get your references, if they're interviewing another DJ, how should they ask for those references?
The DJ MC should supply them immediately at their first initial consultation. I not only give away references from past clients, I do professional references as well, and then also parents, because a lot of days, still, the parents are helping pay for the wedding, if not paying for the entire thing. So it's very nice for, you know, the parents to be able to talk to other parents and find out where their money went and how well it was spent. To touch base on that, interviewing DJs, we don't really have anything physically you can put your hands on. So if you live out of state or otherwise, there's so many different things you can do via email, phone calls. Don't believe everything you hear and read in magazines, because we keep up with the trends as well as wedding planners and photographers and everyone else dealing with the wedding industry. And we're not all created equal, and we don't all come from the same mold. So there are different price ranges from $450 on up to $4,000, and it really just depends on the entertainment itself. Customer service, attention to detail, and some of the other things that I had mentioned earlier about contracts and insurance, backup equipment, that's huge. But just making sure that you're comfortable with your entertainment, whether it be on the phone. I give away a DVD to every client that I meet with, and you can also see that DVD online at my website. And it allows you to see kind of an in-depth look at my personal touches, the things that I like to do and the things that separate me from other DJs and entertainers. But there's so many ways of going about it. You don't actually have to sit down in front of me to interview a DJ, but it certainly helps if you have the opportunity.
Excellent. Now, you just said that you could hire entertainment services anywhere from $450 to $4,000, and that is a huge range, and I think that confuses a lot of bride and grooms. Can you tell us why there's such a range when you're all supposed to be doing the same thing or have the same responsibilities, let's say?
It would be nice if we were all somewhat close in the same ball game, but we're not. And I like to use the example of purchasing a car. You can purchase several different cars. Some will come with heated seats or air conditioned, whatever the case may be. But they'll all get you from point A to point B. It's just all the extra features. It's that attention to detail. It's the customer service. It's the experience of a DJ. If they've only done a few weddings, they're probably not going to be experienced enough to handle curveballs or different things that can go wrong. Or maybe not just go wrong, but anything that happens at your wedding, if they haven't done enough weddings, they're probably not going to be experienced enough to handle those.
You know, I agree with you totally, and I think what people might not know is that really all that it takes to become let's call it DJ right now, is to get equipment and then just a willingness to go out there and do it, basically. But I think in order to take yourself across the line of actually calling it a profession, it's about really investing in your equipment, always keeping updated with music, going, being part of disc jockey communities, and that sort of thing. And I think that that's what really sets, you know, an event director, you know, as far as ceremony and reception entertainment is concerned, by just some fly-by-night, somebody that just thought it would be fun to do. And I think that's what people really need to look for. Don't you agree?
Oh, I agree, because you can call yourself a photographer if you go out and buy a camera for
$300. Exactly.
It's not the camera. It's the person behind the camera that makes the difference. And when people ask me, and I'll use photography as an example, they ask me all the time, is there any photographers that you know that you recommend? Well, I recommend several, and for different reasons. Some do digital, some do film. Some are photojournalists. Some are the 1, 2, 3 smile. They use special effects. it really depends on your personality and what you're looking for in a photographer. Same thing with your entertainment. You have to gel with that person. You have to be comfortable with that person, and they have to fit to what your needs and wants are, and they have to build your reception. They take your ideas, your concepts, your dislikes as well as your likes, everything that you want to accomplish, and leave out all the fringe that you don't. And if they can't do all those things for you, it's not a perfect fit. And I think that's where the price range comes in to be such a huge thing. But there's no set minimum. There's no set maximum. It's what perceived value. If you see the value in what someone does, then you're going to pay for it. It doesn't matter what it is. If they don't see the value, it doesn't matter if you're $400. Mm-hmm. They're not going to pay it. And to me, responsibility is when you're the most expensive thing there. When moms and dads have done the cooking, the aunts and the uncles have supplied the flowers, or they didn't have centerpieces, or they didn't have favors. But when you are the entertainment aspect of it, and they've paid all that money towards you, to me, that's pressure. It's not the $80,000 weddings where they have ice sculptures and chocolate fountains and so on and so forth. To me, that's not pressure. It's that whole perceived value. They saw the value in what I do, and they were willing to pay for that. And it really shows. And if you don't pay for your entertainment, you end up with a very expensive dinner function.
Absolutely. And I think in this particular category, when it comes to your ceremony and reception entertainment, you get what you pay for. And you may think that you're getting this deal because you're hiring a DJ that's $695, but I think it's really important to take into consideration all the factors that Mike has just shared with you. And let's talk, I'm going to put you on the spot, Mike. In Phoenix Market, really a good DJ at a very minimum price level should be?
You should be at least $1,100, $1,200 for a four-hour reception during our peak season, which is February through June, and then, or up till June, and then starting again in September and going pretty solid again until about January.
Excellent. And I think probably in most places that would be the case. A lot of people, I think a big misconception is that cost only goes to that night. But as you said earlier, you're going out to site visits, you're on the phone with them, you're emailing, you're going over profiles and getting the line of order of everything. And that takes time. I mean, if you calculate all the time that you spend with one person up to the wedding date, it's definitely making sense as to why you would want to hire a DJ or entertainment services at that level.
It does. If you read the magazines, that most magazines will tell you your percentage that you should spend on your entertainment is about 5 to 8% of your budget. But brides don't do that. I mean, if you really think about it, and if you have a budget set, 5 to 8%, they don't spend on entertainment. And if it's something that's very, very important to you, spend the time, spend the resources interviewing every potential entertainment director out there to find the best one for you.
Absolutely. And once you find that person, don't hesitate, because they'll probably get booked the next weekend if you're not careful. So once you know that you found that person, you made that connection, don't even hesitate anymore. Just go ahead and get them booked and get them solidified for your day. Now, another thing that I wanted to mention too is if you're going to have live entertainment at your ceremony or at your reception, you should still hire a MC or an event director to run the show, because there's so much that goes into the order of how everything's done. And let's say you have a string quartet for the ceremony, but who's going to make the announcement to the guests after the ceremony that they can now head over to such and such area for the cocktail hour? And who's going to provide that background music as people are kind of, you know, getting to one point to another? So I think it's really important that definitely you should hire your event directors for your ceremony, all through cocktail hour, and of course your reception. And if you are having live entertainment through any time, having them there as just the backup to make any special announcements. Don't you agree with that? I think that's the best way to really handle this situation.
Well, I wouldn't want to deter anyone from hiring a string quartet for any reason, but when you have a large wedding of 100 people or more, and this, depending on where the string quartet is set up, they're not amplified, so a lot of your guests don't even get to hear the strings, something that you paid money for. So it basically falls on deaf ears. But I take it a step further. It's who's supplying the microphones for the officiant. Are your guests going to be able to hear what the bride and groom say during the ceremony? I mean, that's the whole reason for being invited to a wedding, is the ceremony. That's the biggest aspect of the day, is the ceremony. And I can tell you 50% of the weddings that I do, I provide coordination, music, and microphones for the ceremony. So with that, it's not only hearing what the officiants say, but what the bride and groom are saying. And now, brides don't freak out because we don't put microphones on a bride's dress. It's on the groom, it's on the officiant, and then there's a separate microphone for readings. So the entire ceremony is heard, not just what the officiant said. It's background music, it's music for the different formalities, depending on what you're going to do during the ceremony, whether it be a sand presentation, lighting of the unity candle, during readings. At any point in time, it's just the coordination between the event director and the officiant to make sure that that ceremony goes off without a hitch, appropriate music, appropriate announcements with the appropriate equipment.
Excellent. Something that we really preach here at the studios is make your priority list as a bride and groom. Find out what's important to you and then start, you know, from the top and then go down to the bottom. But I think what's really important to say here, we really do stand by that concept, but I think what's important to say here is that your entertainment services needs to always be at the top no matter what, because, you know, it's not only taking care of you as a bride and groom, but it's taking care of all your guests and kind of the order of everything that's going on. And I really feel that you can have the prettiest flowers and you can have the most gorgeous reception room, but if your entertainment is not solid, then forget about it. You just completely done. You haven't done justice to your event.
But also keep in mind too, Stephanie, I've learned over the years that entertainment is not foo-foo. It's not something that a bride thinks about first. Usually they know they need entertainment. They just don't know how much, how long, what they actually do. We're never going to come before a bride's dress or flowers or things of that. It's just foo-foo to them. But we are important, and they're starting to understand how important. So the more that we can educate these brides on the difference in entertainment, what they do, what they don't do, the differences, they're really starting to understand and come around that it is very important that and your wedding could be an absolute disaster without the appropriate people.
Wonderful. Well, before we sign off, I just want you to give some background information on Creative Touch Entertainment and also your website.
It's www.creativetouchentertainment.com. There's so much information on there dealing with me and my philosophy, my professionalism, attention to detail, getting to know my clients, and it's well worth the website visit.
Excellent. And do you travel?
I do travel. I am in the Phoenix metro area. There's a small charge, and it's just traveling charges, basically for gas nowadays, to go outside the metro area, whether it be Sedona, Tucson, Payson, Flagstaff, those areas.
Excellent. Well, I've really enjoyed our podcast today. I hope our listeners learned a lot. And stay tuned next time. We will always be talking about these major topics, and this is definitely one of them. Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, Stephanie. I had fun.